Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get started, I'd like to thank our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be able to do these interviews on a daily basis, so please support them. On today's show, we've got with us Laren Odom, and he is with Chastain Wealth Management. Welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here, Lee.
Before we get too far into things, tell us about Chastain Wealth Management. How are you serving folks?
Absolutely. So what we do is we help successful business executives and business owners who are kind of find themselves on the ladder of success, the escalator of success, as we call it. And they're kind of ready to get off and maybe do something else with their life. But they've kind of gone all in on their business or their career and sometimes find it hard to do that. So we take them through a consultative process of a series of five meetings and kind of ask them where they are now, where they want to go, and kind of help fill in any gaps that might exist to get there.
So now, what's a misconception that people who aren't familiar with business executives that have achieved that level of success have that maybe you're privy to that the layperson doesn't really appreciate?
Sure. I mean, the folks, the things that you might think about a business executive or a business owner, is that they're very driven. You know, that is a correct conception that people have of them. But they often find themselves, you know, at a certain point in their career. Sometimes it's early 40s, sometimes it's mid 40s, sometimes it's early 50s, maybe even later. That they've kind of achieved what they want to achieve and they want to do something else with their life, you know, whatever the case may be. But they really don't know how to do it. They don't know how to get out. And so they have these ideas about, well, you know, I'd be a fool to walk away from a job making this much money and have a lot of responsibility and, you know, taking this company or this business that I've started to the next level. You know, I'd be a fool to do that, but that's not really what they want to do with their life. And sadly, a lot of them never get off the kind of escalator of success, and they just kind of continue to go that route. And, you know, you may have heard that a lot of people on their deathbed, and this comes from an interview that a woman did to several folks, to hundreds of people, actually, about people's regrets. And their regrets were not things that they had done. It was things that they had not done, i.e., I want to stop working and, you know, I've got enough money now to live off of and I want to go do something else. Those were the things that were more common that folks regret. So, you know, our business, our wealth management firm, helps people to avoid having that fate.
Now, do you find that at some point when you feel secure, I guess, with your wealth level that you're at, that at some point you want to give back and have a legacy, an impact, an effect, and help other people?
Absolutely. So there's really four big areas of concern that wealthy people have, and that is kind of wealth enhancement. They are smart enough to know that, you know, we've got this lump sum of money, be it $1 million, $5 million, $10 million, and they want to enhance it. They want to protect it. That's probably their number one concern. Hey, they've built this, they've worked really hard, they've got this success. And then they want to mitigate taxes. That's a big one as well. And then the last one is one you mentioned, charitable giving, and wealth transfer, be it to their own family or charitable organizations, is a huge and very, very common desire of folks. And so we work with experts and there's all kind of strategies and tactics that you can use to maximize your giving. And so fortunately, the government and the taxation system, they're kind of in step with that desire that most people have. And so there's lots of things that you can do to minimize your taxable income, minimize the taxes that you might pay if they are directed toward a charity. And it's a lot more complicated, or a lot more opportunities than just, hey, I get to deduct something from what I give. There's foundations and all kind of different trusts that people set up. And so, yeah, it's a huge, huge part of what we do. And it all comes from, that's what the client's desires are.
Now, is this something that you have to have, Bill Gates money to start a foundation? Or like what would you think is like the minimum amount of money you need to have where a foundation at least should be considered?
Yeah. So maybe not Bill Gates kind of money, but, generally for foundations, you want to have, a sizable amount. It depends on, what the foundation is. But we're actually, it's a good question, because the space we work in is we don't work with the ultra wealthy. And so ultra wealthy would be defined as 100 million or more. So our kind of sweet spot is between the 2 and 15 to $20 million range. Those are the folks that we help the best. So that kind of wealth is not really where you want to set up generally a family foundation, a charitable foundation. But there are all kind of other techniques that you can use, because there's cost to running a foundation and things like that. But there's all kind of other techniques that you can use that offer similar benefits to those, what we call wealthy. Certainly, somebody has $10 million, but they're not considered in our world, the extremely affluent or the super wealthy, where you'd want to set up a whole charitable foundation.
But there are ways to kind of have that impact and legacy, even at $2 million of net worth.
Absolutely. To affect something that you care about, beyond your death. So you set up something where the money can continue to grow, and you can have an impact on something that you believe in and something that you're concerned with. With less than $50 million, certainly.
Now, in your work, you spend a lot of time dealing with business people and executives and things like that. How have you been kind of working with them through this pandemic? Because I've got the privilege of interviewing dozens of people over the last few weeks that are dealing with this firsthand. And it seems like there's a few choices people have made. Some people are like, well, I'm just going to wait this out, and I'm just going to, at some future point, I'll just turn back on the lights and go back to work. And then there's other people that are like, look, this is an opportunity. A lot of successful businesses have started during crisis, so why can't it be me? What are you seeing? Like, what's the temperature you're getting out there?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, uncertainty creates opportunity, both in the marketplace, which is a big part of what we do. Obviously, we manage our clients' investments. And so whenever there's uncertainty, there is opportunity in the markets. And then it goes the same, for businesses. We think about a third of businesses here through this thing may fail. A third of them are going to kind of muddle through. And then a third of them, as you mentioned with some of your interviews, are going to come out of this thing thriving, because they're using the opportunity to first recognize that we're in a new world, in a sense, right? This pandemic is going to change things. But it's not unprecedented, right? We've had changes before. So to answer your question directly, we've been reaching out to our clients, individually. And the first thing we always do is we lead with questions. We don't lead with solutions and advice. We always ask them, A, how are you doing? How's your family? How's your health? B, how's your business doing? And then from there, we make recommendations. But we've been in touch with pretty much all of our clients, all of our business owners and executives, to kind of find out how they're doing. So generally, our folks are embracing this. Of course, many of them have concerns. Many of them are scared. They're asking, questions about what to do with their money. Is this thing going to end? And so, we did initially about a month ago, we did a webinar on two things. One was the history of pandemics. So, how many pandemics have affected the earth? What does this one look like compared to that? And I think that helped a lot of people just put it in context. And in no way do we want to minimize, you know, the impact of what's happening. Obviously, it's had a huge change. And certainly we want to be sensitive if any of our clients or any of our your listeners have been directly affected by this, right? If they've lost someone or had someone that's gone through that. But these pandemics have happened before, right? And so we want to put those in context, which we always do. Because, you know, I was lucky enough to be a financial advisor in the global financial crisis 12 years ago. And it kind of amazes me, you know, as kind of earth-shattering as that was, and as devastating and really, you know, was from the market's perspective, it was twice as bad as what this is. How many people have kind of forgotten that? And, you know, I lived through it. And so my point, and sorry for being long-winded, but my point here is that when you're going through these kind of black swan events that are unexpected and sudden and have a huge impact, it feels like this has never happened before. And it feels like this one's different. It feels like, you know, we're never going to come out of this. So the first thing we do is to put the pandemic in perspective. And then we also put the effect that it had in the market. You know, the market at the time was about down about 30% or so. So we put that in perspective and showed a graph, you know, of what the stock market was in 1970, what it was in 2019. Basically, if you had $50 invested in 1970, you'd have $3,500 in 2019. So sounds real easy, right? You just invest and, you know, whatever. I can't do the math that quickly, but whatever multiple that is of your money. But we also pointed out how many awful things happened in that 50-year period. How many different presidential and congressional, you know, delegations that we had. How many crises we had. And it just helps to put things in context, to understand that while it feels horrible, and it is horrible when you're going through it, you know, what's going to come out on the other side of this is not going to defeat American capitalism. It just isn't. And so, as you mentioned, there are businesses right now that are being developed. You know, that's really what we've been doing with our clients. And most of our clients get that and are responding as we expect them that they would.
Now, as part of your role as a trusted advisor for your clients, they're kind of leaning on you for support and for, you know, intelligence like this. Are there any organizations here locally that you lean on for that kind of support and like in the Sandy Springs area?
So, you know, we're members of the Sandy Springs Chamber of Commerce. And so that's always a really uplifting and just intellectually good exercise to go through, to go to those meetings and talk to those businesses and understand what they're going through and frankly, get ideas. You know, I don't know everything. Obviously, that's an understatement. And so to hear what other people are doing. And then I am part of an elite wealth advisor, essentially a coaching program called CEG Worldwide. And we have weekly meetings and roundtables where we have about 280 advisors that have achieved a certain level of success. So it's not for a beginner, but they've achieved a certain level of success. And even though we're sort of competitors, it's amazingly collaborative. And so those are a couple, you know, one national and one local. And then I'm also a member of Leadership Sandy Springs 2019 class. And again, that's a collection for those of y'all that don't know, of business leaders, nonprofits, and government officials in Sandy Springs. And we go through a year-long program where we collaborate, we listen, we go through all kind of different training and exercises and different visits around to the great community of Sandy Springs that we live in. And so leaning on those folks as well and just hearing their opinions and, you know, getting things done, frankly, around the city and through business, that's been a real help for us as well.
So now in your work, how do you get your clients? Is it primarily word of mouth? Because I would imagine it's hard to get somebody, especially that has a chunk of change under their belt, to say, oh, I'm going to switch or I'm going to try somebody new, because you have to build up a high level of trust before they'll have those conversations to even give you the chance to advise them.
Absolutely. No, it's a great question. And you're absolutely right. I mean, this is, trust is the number one component. And so our clients, our minimum amount that you have to work with us is $1 million. So as you point out, you know, before someone's going to entrust someone with $1 million or more, you know, there has to be a level of trust. So the way we get our business is definitely we get referrals from our existing clients. We are on Facebook. We have a Facebook page where we post information. I did share the webinar that we did on LinkedIn and Facebook, and we do get calls from that. And then, you know, just getting out and meeting people in the community is another huge source of how I get my clients. And if you have $1 million or more, chances are if you're 30 or even if you're younger than that, but if you're 30 or older, certainly you've been pitched by, you know, 10 to 15 financial advisors. It's just a thing. I mean, if you tell somebody you're a financial advisor at a cocktail party, they're generally looking for the door because they're waiting for the pitch to come. So our process is really consultative in the sense that we take our clients through a series of 5 meetings. And the first two are what we call a discovery meeting. And the only thing that we do in that meeting is we ask each client a series of 61 questions. And it's everything from, you know, how are your investments currently structured to, do you have any dogs? Do you have any pets? And the reason that we ask questions like that is because we want to get to know the client and know what's important to them. And, you know, as silly as that question may seem, like, why are you asking me that in an investment management meeting? We have several times where that's been like, yes, we have a pet and it's very important to us. And, you know, we really want to make sure that it's taken care of no matter what. Like, we have an elderly woman who that was very important to. So you don't get that. You don't get to know the person unless you ask those questions. Then the second meeting based on that is, okay, here's based on what you told us, you're 45 years old, you have $1.4 million, you want to retire in 5 years, et cetera, et cetera. Well, here's the investment plan. Here's how you should instruct structure your investments. And here's two or three other things that you should work on. And then in that meeting, even if people wanted to sign up and say, okay, I'm ready to start working with you, we would not accept you. What we want is we want you to go home, consider it very carefully, because what we're really looking for is a lifelong relationship. Now, it's not a contractual relationship. Anybody can leave our firm anytime they want. But what we really want is to make sure that we're the right fit for what the client wants. And of course, the client's the right fit for us as well, because we're not for everybody. You know, we limit our practice to a small number of clients upon whom we can have a huge impact. So we're not going to be a 500 client firm. That's not our goal. We currently work with about 70 clients, and our goal is to work with about 120 or so. We feel like we can handle that. But then after that second meeting, if folks want to move forward, then we would have a mutual commitment meeting where we sign that. So again, sorry for being long-winded, but what that does is it really puts us in a different place, because when people come in and they realize that they're not going to be asked to sign anything even after the second meeting, it allows them to relax, it lets their guard down, and they can you know, really answer the question, and we can get to know each other. And that's really what engenders and what builds trust, is that we've had an honest exchange of information, and they weren't sitting there, you know, kind of with white knuckles worried about when the pitch was coming, because it's not going to come. If they want to work with us, we'll work with them, and vice versa.
Now, if somebody wanted to learn more and have a more substantive conversation, or maybe get it on your calendar for that first meeting, is there a website?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website is ChastainWealth.com. And what I just talked about, there's an explanation, a visual explanation of that. And our phone number is 404-736-1261, if anybody's more comfortable calling. And then we're right in the heart of Sandy Springs. If you know where Joey D's, the restaurant, is, you can walk to our office from there. We're right down the street on the Cox Communications campus and 16th floor. And we'd love to speak with people. And honestly, folks that, you know, aren't sure if they can work with us or not, I'm always happy to do a 15-minute consultation with them and give them some good advice. I've done that several times.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Great. Well, I really appreciate the time, and thank you for having us.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We'll see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, we could not be doing these interviews without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. So please support them, so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.